Insecurity at British Airports.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. You remember why liquids were banned from airplanes? Because in August 2006, British authorities uncovered a plot to blow up jetliners using bombs disguised as soft drinks. 8 British Muslims are now on trial for that. But in the past 24 hours, it's come to light that there is a gaping loophole in the security policy at British airports. Our correspondent Stephen Beer joins us from London. Stephen, tell us about this.
Well, since 2003, anyone working in a restricted zone of a British airport has had to have been checked to see whether they've got a criminal record, but only if it's a UK criminal record. It's emerged that the authorities don't check for foreign criminal records.
Well, that's not very comforting. How are people reacting to this?
Well, I mean, it's caused an absolute furore. The government says it would take too long and be too complicated to check criminal records from abroad. And it points out that all workers going into restricted zones are checked the way passengers are, with metal detectors and so on. But security analysts say this is an absurd loophole, and it does leave passengers using British airports dangerously exposed.
Do we know how many people work at British airports from other countries?
Well, there are around 200,000 workers at British airports, but the government is unable to say how many of them are foreign. It's believed there were probably several thousand.
Now that this has come to light and a lot of pressure is being put on the British government, is there any movement afoot to change this?
Not immediately. The British government says there is a transport security review underway at the moment. This was triggered by the discovery of an Al-Qaeda sympathizer working in a bookshop at Heathrow Airport last December. But that review will not report until late summer, and the government won't take any action until the report is published.
Okay, Stephen Beard, our correspondent in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
The price of oil shot up to yet another record high this morning, close to $124 a barrel, and stocks are taking a hit because of it. In Tokyo, the Nikkei closed down more than 1%. European shares are 0.5% lower so far. The Dow is coming off a 200-point loss. It starts the morning at 12,814. The Nasdaq fell 44, almost 2%, to 2438. The S&P 500 lost 25 points, close to 2%, to finish at 1392. A British-American deal to tell you about this morning. Best Buy is buying a 50% stake in an electronics chain in Britain called Carphone Warehouse. The two companies will launch a new firm to expand across Europe.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at Medtronic.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
In Haiti, riots over food prices.
Limiting purchases of rice.
Hey, winter wheat's up 25 cents. Corn.
We continue now our coverage of the global food crisis. Yesterday, we looked at the causes and the consequences. Consequences could be dire in many countries. But some American farmers who've struggled for many years may see things turn around. People are eating more low-cost foods, like spaghetti, canned goods, and peanut butter. Josephine Bennett reports from Georgia on the situation for peanut farmers.
It's the start of peanut season in South Georgia. Over the next few weeks, farmers here will be plowing and planting their fields. Justin Jones has been farming his whole life. He is counting on increased demand and hopes to be harvesting his crop in about 4 months.
We planted last year, if my memory serves me right, about 300, give or take, acres, and we probably exactly doubled this year to 600 on the nose.
Jones' decision is partially based on the rising price of oil. His Georgia Green peanuts don't need fertilizer, and the cost of that fertilizer has doubled over the last 2 years. But there's a good reason not to grow peanuts: government subsidies on corn-based biofuel. Richard Barnhill is a peanut broker in Albany, Georgia.
The farmer's got to decide, can I make more with corn or with peanuts? Or with cotton, or with soybeans. And so the ethanol issue is affecting all farm commodities.
Still, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is predicting a 16% jump in peanut harvests this year. That's because farmers know the declining dollar will drive demand for peanuts in places like Europe and Japan. China, normally a major world supplier, has decided to hoard all of its peanuts for domestic use. The storage room at McCleskey Mills in Smithville looks like an airplane hangar. A front loader is moving a mountain of peanuts into underground storage. Most of the peanuts here will be used to make peanut butter. Barnhill says sales of the lunchbox staple are up, which is pretty typical in tough economic times like these.
It's a good source of protein. It is affordable, and we also find that one of the first things that people cut out in a tough economy is eating out.
Barnhill says peanut supplies are tight, but not critical, at least not yet. But for farmer Justin Jones, increased demand is good news.
I hope it depletes the supply and makes the price go up. Of course, that's a farmer's motto.
If peanut prices follow the lead of other commodities, Jones will be getting his wish. In Macon, Georgia, I'm Josephine Bennett for Marketplace.
Coming up tomorrow, how U.S. food manufacturers are coping with higher-priced ingredients. Check out all of our coverage on the website marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.